From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
For the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Rain Podcast with Ranger Proud, the Blue Shirts on the West Coast, games versus the Golden Knights, the Ducks, the Kings, upcoming games versus San Jose in a couple of days, and then fly back out east against the Flyers, and we'll talk about that. And then the last third of this episode, we're going to get around the rest of the NHL because a lot of things have happened since the last time we were on. There's coaches and protocols and COVID protocols, including ours, and we'll talk about that, but as well as the big trade last Thursday with the Golden Knights and the Sabres and who got what and what got back and who won the Eichel sweepstakes, and Tuukka Rask is back with the Bruins on a prorated deal. We'll talk about the Evander Kane situation, who or what and where he may go, depending on what his agent says, but we'll talk about that. But first, let's get with our squad first and talk about this trip and this situation at hand on this trip. And no surprise to me, based on availability, guys are out, expanded roster. The game versus the Kings Monday night, I think it got a little bit away from them. A couple of miscues by the defenseman with Keandre Miller on that first goal, and then also where Georgiev did not secure the puck on the save, and they got the rebound for the second goal. I know Rangers cut it to a one-goal game, but after the empty netter, it was pretty much a done deal. But little things like that is kind of what I'm going to go with the questions with the guys tonight, as far as do we have enough to survive to keep where we are in the standing? That's pretty much the premise. So let's get to the first two-thirds of the show, talk about our squad, and then the last third, we'll talk about the rest of the NHL. Glenn, what's going on, man? I hope all is well. We got Scott with us. Shout-out to Scott. Glenn, what's up, man? How you doing? Say hello to the people real quick. Just say hello, and then I'll lead off with you. How you doing, man?
Yeah, well, hi, guys. Good to be back with you. Doing about as well as we can with the up and down week we've had with the Rangers. Obviously, you prefaced everything we're going to talk about, but yeah, it's been a little up and down with the Rangers. Two different teams this week, so yeah, we'll see on Thursday night which team shows up in San Jose.
We'll see, man. We'll see. Scott, what's going on, man? Hope all is well. What's going on, sir? How's everything? Man, toss some blue shirts, toss some NHL towards the end. How's everything, man?
Yeah, I'm doing well. It's good to be back. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Steve.
Good evening.
Yeah, it's – I mean, they were due for some kind of slide. I mean, they're getting hit with the COVID bug. Key guys are getting it, and or they're, whatever they're getting, testing positive, whatever it is, so be it. So they're shorthanded until this passes. A lot of other teams went through it. The Islanders went through it before they finally shut them down. The Hurricanes went through it. We're getting some guys back, and, it looks like it's going to be a revolving door until pretty much everybody goes through it. So it sucks, but it is what it is. And, yeah. That's it. I mean, and they were due for a little bit of a slide anyway. All good teams go through it. So if this is it, coinciding with the COVID positive tests, that would be great. We'll see what happens when they get back. Not a great road trip, but I'm going to give them a pass personally.
I understand that. I totally understand why you're saying what you're saying as far as the circumstances. Let's go back to Glenn and get his thoughts. Vegas. The Duck game on Saturday, I thought we caught a couple of breaks in that Duck game. The way we got loose pucks, or not even loose pucks, it was the deflected goals by them that set up. They helped us out, if anything, in that Saturday game. And then Monday night, I thought Peterson was pretty good in the net for the Kings, but it didn't help any matters worse. It made matters a little bit worse when we couldn't secure the puck, whether defensemen, blown assignments, and Gokhiev could not secure saves. But, Glenn, so how did you look at the Kings game, the Duck game, and the Golden Knight game? the Golden Knights game before that. And give us your thoughts, top level, and then also if you want to expound on the COVID stuff, like Scott said, you know, the head coach is out, Panarin's out, so that's a lot for me. But you got Chris Knobloch back in the interim head. It's not his first go around with Blue Shirts when it comes to the situation. But give us your top level thoughts, and then we'll go to Scott after that.
Yeah, it's so hard in this world of COVID right now to know game to game what to expect because, the Rangers have players out that you hear about the afternoon of the game. Other teams have players out. So it's so hard to judge and say, oh, I see this or, oh, I see that because, it's really so hard with guys out. I mean, the L.A. game, as well as the Vegas game, the Rangers just had a tough time getting into the offensive zone, and they had trouble with two teams that are very much transition teams that like to counterattack on turnovers. And, the Rangers have had problems with teams like that. I had read Ryan Reeves, obviously, who was there for a number of years, said that he had told the guys before the game that, they love to counterattack. They're a transition team. The Kings, going back to when the Rangers played them in the finals, they were always kind of a heavy team, but they're not that so much anymore. They've become more of a faster, younger transition team as well. And, when you've got guys, especially the L.A. game, like Goudreau out and Reeves out, it's hard to dump the puck in and create a forecheck because, those are the physical guys in the lineup that you expect to do that. So, the L.A. game especially reminded me of something my buddies and I, when I had season tickets, used to say that the Rangers are playing dump and chase. They're dumping it in, and then they're chasing the other team back out of the zone. They could never really get the puck in with the 1-3-1 that L.A. was playing. And, they couldn't create a forecheck. They really didn't have a lot of opportunities. We saw that against Vegas. We saw that against the Kings. And then we saw a totally different team against Anaheim. But as you say, the first two goals, we got some help from Ducks knocking the puck in. I thought we were going to win 2-1, but probably should have gotten pinned with a shutout because we didn't score any of the first two goals ourselves. But the Ducks had, I think, 8 guys out on quarantine. So, you got to kind of take that effort, which, after the game, you had to say, wow, that's one of the most dominant performances of the year by the Rangers. But then, when you realize that the Ducks had so many guys out, you got to temper that, at least a little bit. So I thought, being a little shorthanded, having trouble again with a transition team like the Kings, Georgiev, kind of mishandling those first couple of goals that got them in a hole very early. And, we've seen them come back a lot of nights when they fall back early, but they just couldn't get any offense going. So, Panarin really, looked like he was feeling the effects of COVID when he got back. He didn't really show too much, but it was really, you couldn't really pin the blame on anyone because it was just a total, to me, listless effort by pretty much everybody. And the fact that they played as poorly as they did, and we're still in the game with 10 minutes left. I'm not sure if I should look at that as a positive or a negative, but they were in the game with a few minutes left and just couldn't put the tying goal up. So, it's just been an up and down week. Like Scott said, you kind of expect that. It's been an up and down month. I mean, I think they lost 5 out of 7 before the Christmas break, and we're like, oh boy, is this, we're gonna start to steamroll here. And then they come out and they play some great games. They beat Tampa twice, once of them in a pretty dominant fashion. And you're saying, wow, they really, maybe the break helped. They turned it around. They look like a different team. And now it's kind of back to up and down again. And, you know, we may see a lot of that with guys in and out of the lineup over the next few weeks and up to the trading deadline. So we'll see what they do then, too. That's, hopefully we'll talk about that a little later because that might be a little interesting looking to the trading deadline.
All right, cool. Let's go to Scott, get his thoughts, and I got a question for you guys after that. Go ahead. Go ahead, Scott. What's your thoughts on the game?
Well, mine's going to be brief. I don't have much to offer in terms of insight on this road trip because, admittedly, I haven't watched much of it. I mean, I haven't been on the show in a couple of weeks because 9 o'clock sometimes is a problem. 10 o'clock is a big problem. So I think I watched the first period of the Ducks game in which they looked pretty good. But that's it. That's all I got. I mean, that's why I've been to Calgary three times to knock that game down to a 7 o'clock start. So, yeah, I really got nothing other than just seeing the scores. So I guess I will defer my time on this one, unfortunately. Let's
okay,
see if I will happily answer the question that you said you had coming up.
Yeah. Let me jump into that question in about 30, 45 seconds. But let me say this. Let me just rewind how I saw the games versus Vegas, Anaheim, L.A. in that order. Well, first of all, you know, I like the tribute, Glenn, to Ryan Reeves when he returned to Vegas. I thought that was nice.
That's great. It was great.
That was pretty good. They did a good job with that. It seemed like on this road trip, the second period got the Rangers in trouble. The Vegas game was like that, and they never could recover for whatever reason. And I think the Rangers could play with the Vegas Golden Knights. I just don't understand, I don't understand why it didn't translate that night. It just took them out of the game, and they just never fought back in it. And just like we said about the Anaheim game, it was kind of a nip and tug back and forth game. Like you said, Anaheim had a lot of players out, but we got a lot of breaks in that game. We got a lot of breaks with deflected goals by them, two of them, to say the least. Mm-hmm. But the LA game, you know, see, I'm cool with that, but the LA game is a little bit more of a bothersome, even as much as you say, Glenn, as far as transitional hockey, how LA plays and how they attack. I actually, a couple of weeks ago, right? Or 3 weeks ago, I was actually in LA because I was out there for the Giants and I actually went to one of their games. I went to the Wild played the Kings, and you know you get a sense of what your opponent is, and you're right, Glenn. They're kind of a counter punch type of team, but they can skate and transition. And the Rangers just look slow. I don't know if it was because the bottom of the lineup is not used to playing with each other, and it kind of and all the shifts is a domino effect on how the game is played. The Rangers just did not look comfortable offensively. In LA game, the first period. Now, see, here's the thing: the first period, I thought when Strome got robbed by Peterson on that shot, I thought that was in, man. That was a hell of a save, and I think that was an opportunity wasted early on to get the jump ahead. But it seemed like in the second period, the Rangers defensively. And I'm gonna put the second goal on Gorkyov. I think he should have secured the puck, and I think that's the difference between not having a Shesterkin in that versus him, where Shesterkin probably makes the save, clear the puck, you know, hold on to the puck or whatever. But because Gorkyov did not secure the puck, the rebound was there for the taking. Now, I think I'm going to put the defenseman, I think it was Trouba and especially Keandre Miller, on the first goal, I think, is on the defenseman. I can't really fault Gorkyov. When I went back and watched the replay of how that transpired, I'm going to put that on them. As far as not – they missed the opportunity on the loose pump to clear the puck, and Gorkyov was just—it was just a late reaction. I can't really fault him for that. That's not—I can't put that on him. But going forward, you got San Jose, you got Philadelphia. It is a little bit of disappointment, not for the reasons of, not just because of the how well they were playing since the break of the COVID, but it was more so about. I guess the circumstances is what makes it disappointing, but every team is going through that. But this is where I'm going to ask you the question, but let me get RP on and get his thoughts on the games. But got to talk about it because we have to weather the storm because, like I said before, like, you know, with Panarin, when he came back in the game in L.A., but if it's no Shesterkin, like I asked you guys on the last episode, I didn't ask you, Scott, but I'll get your thoughts on that. How confident are you in Gorkiev? I know Gorkiev showed flashes in that one game, and we talked about it, and he looked great. But that I said I got to see more, and what I've seen is kind of suspect. RP, let's get your thoughts, and I'll ask that question to Glenn and Scott again. RP, what's going on? Forever Blue Shirts, Empire Sports Media. RP, what's going on? How you doing, man? What's your thoughts on that Vegas game, the Duck game, the Kings game, and also your thoughts on, you know, Gallant and COVID protocol. A lot of the guys getting burned out, bringing up Barron and Brozinski and Gettinger up into the lineup, and there's been a lot of changes to the lineup. And what is your thoughts, sir? I hope all is well, man.
Hey guys, how's it going tonight? Yeah.
Here's something.
With the Gorgiev, I just don't have the confidence in him to be a starting goaltender. We've seen this before. He shows signs of being a really solid goalie in net. And then, I didn't see a lot of the West Coast games because of work and all, but I saw a lot of the videos and the replays, and I read a lot on it. And it seems to be he's not focused, or he loses his confidence early on. I mean, last night, Kandre and Miller had that poor turnover. They come down before you know it, you're down 1-0. Not to say that that's mm-hmm. his fault, but it seems
yeah,
like the Rangers play a different game. They play a different game when Gorgiev is in net than when they play when Shesterkin's in that. We all know that, and we all see that. But the Rangers have been lucky over the years to have a backup that when he's in net, your confidence is high. You know, I think back to when Cam Talbot played with Lundqvist, and Lundqvist got hurt, and Talbot was able to carry the load. The Rangers, it's not just goaltending right now. The Rangers are suffering from not having a good third-pair defensive unit. They're rotating a lot of guys in and out. They can't seem to find that strong fifth and sixth defenseman, which you need. You know, we can make the playoffs, but if you don't have a strong fifth and sixth defenseman, you're not going anywhere. You can't keep rotating and playing Fox 30 minutes and Schubert with all these minutes. And I think that's where the GM's going to have to step up and work this out. You know, they sent Lundqvist down today. They brought up Brandon Schneider. They're going to see how that works out. But it's been a constant shifting of that defensive pairing, and that has a lot to do with the Rangers. It's not like having a fourth line on the team and they play 10 minutes a game. That third pair has to play a lot of minutes, not as much as the other two units, obviously, but they need to be relied upon to play a lot of minutes, and I think that is where the big struggle is. And then you add to that a struggling Gorgiev, or an inconsistent Gorgiev, I should say. And it hurts. So with the goaltending, it's hard to keep weathering the storm because points are getting lost that you feel you should win. You know, they mm-hmm. played a strong game in Anaheim, which I thought they played a great game in Anaheim. The L.A. Kings game, they just didn't seem to have their footing a lot. Last night, everything I read and saw, they were really flat. So now you got a flat team in front of you. You got a goalie that looks like has a confidence problem. It's hard to make it all work. You know, they seem to also – they haven't replaced Sammy Blaze from when he got hurt. And we've been saying mm-hmm. all along they need another top six forward. They put so much weight on Zibanejad and on Panarin. It's great, and it's what you expect, but it's hard to go through an 82-game season. And COVID aside, because all the teams are struggling with players being taken out of the lineup and going in the lineup. Everyone's going through that. So I don't use that as a crutch at all. Because you look at a team like the Islanders, I don't remember the last time they played a hockey game. And they're going through it, whether it's their team or their opposition that they're playing. So you have to put that on the side because it's kind of all even at the end of the day. So what's hurting the Rangers? Their goaltending isn't solid when Shesterkin isn't around.
Mm-hmm.
Their bottom defensive pair is really struggling. And as much as we want to see Kako and Lafreniere and Hedl for that matter, they're playing well. And of those three, I think Lafreniere has the most to offer. A guy like Hedl is struggling because you see how well a Lafreniere plays when he's not with Hedl. And I'm not knocking Hedl. He's just not being productive. And I think that's why we're hearing him in trade rumors with Gorgiev and so forth. So as well as the Rangers have played, and they only have 10 losses on the year, which is, I mean, if you would have said that at the beginning of the season, I'm sure we would all say, I'll take it being in, you know, January 11th, I think, what, and they're playing at such a high level. If they could work out these problems and these issues sooner rather than later, I think the team could be doing so much more. So the winning is fun. The games are fun. But they have a lot of fundamental errors going on that only the GM is going to be able to correct, if he can correct it.
Right, right. We'll go back to Glenn and Scott, get their thoughts. Not with just only what RP said, but I think that's the bigger question is the goaltending situation in particular, not just because of Gorkyov, it's not the beat up on him, but how much can we sustain until Shesterkin gets back and then keep up with other teams that's in the pack with us at the top of the Metro? What's your thoughts on that, Glenn? Then also, if you want to expound on the you know, the lineups and all that, we could get into that as well. Mm-hmm. And then go to
Yeah, I mean, a couple of the things that RP said reminded me of things I wanted to mention. You know, we've got a lot of defensemen that are in and out of the lineup in that fifth and sixth spot. We're rotating Jones and Lundqvist and Nemeth and now Tenorti and Hayek. You know, and I wonder if they're showcasing some of these guys to make a move toward the trade deadline. Now I heard earlier today and from RP that they brought Schneider up. I expect to see him. He's been advertised as a big physical defenseman that actually I've been looking forward to seeing. So I think they have to somehow, like RP said, solidify that fifth, sixth, and even seventh defenseman. I think one of the problems with the L.A. game was it's okay to have Tenorti in the lineup. It's okay to have Nemeth in the lineup. It's not okay to have both of them in the lineup at the same game. And I think that was part of the problem with the team like the Kings, who transitioned so well, to have those particular guys in the lineup for that game. And that added in with, you know, Keandre. I mean, maybe Keandre needs to sit for a game or two. Because I really expect more out of him. He's been great, but I'd like to see him be a little more physical. He's had a couple of screw-ups in a couple of the last games that have cost him goals. You know, maybe it's time to sit him for a game or two and let him watch. But they've got so many defensemen. They're going to probably move somebody, you know, at least by the trade deadline, if not sooner, to try and get some help, I think, on a wing. As far as Georgiev goes, I mentioned last week, I think you asked me, Steve, how I was feeling about him, and I felt mm-hmm. like I was leaning towards he would be okay. But the one thing I would say about Georgiev that we've seen going back to the beginning of his career when he was backing up Henrik was, you know, he could play a couple of good games in a row, but once you start pushing that into four or five games in a row, you start seeing a little bit of a weakness. And that's why I think he'll never be a valid starting goalie in the NHL. I think as a backup, you know, as long as you get him into games, you know, every fourth game or something, you know, he can't sit for 3 weeks either. I mean, that's the thing with him. You have to figure out when you got to play him, who to play him against. And, I mean, at this point, I probably would say I have as much confidence in Kincaid as I do in Georgiev right now, and I'm just hoping that Shesterkin gets back, you know, as soon as possible. But, you know, and the other thing was RP mentioned the name of Sammy Blay, and we're missing him because that kind of threw, you know, the bottom six into a little bit of a scramble. You know, we had the fourth line kind of put together, and they performed well. Heedle, I'm really getting disenchanted with him. He's very inconsistent. It seems like, you know, he gets talked to. I read that he was kind of talked to by Gallant before the Anaheim game, and he's perked up a little bit, but I don't know how long I can expect that to last. And as RP said, we've seen Lafreniere's game take a step up, getting off that line with Hedl. If the intent was to have Hedl take over for Strome, if they can't afford to get Strome under the cap, then I think that is very risky, and I'm not even sure they're thinking about that anymore. We may see Morgan Barron a little bit more to see what he can do. That fourth line of he and Brzezinski and Gettinger, they brought it in the Duck game, but then they kind of fell into the same malaise that the whole team did in the King game, and really, their time was cut back later in the game as well. They weren't seeing the ice as much. So, as far as maintaining their position in the standings, I think they need a little bit of help. They've got a lot of players, but we don't know what real depth we have until we see everybody out there playing. I feel strongly that they're going to move a couple of younger guys just because of the logjam of defensemen and whomever else. I think they're going to try and bring in, a veteran or two. There's been lots of rumors around. I'm not going to mention them all. You guys have heard the names. I think Drury is going to make a move or two, because I think he realizes this team needs a little bit more of a veteran presence. And, I think the team constructed the way it is now might have a difficult time maintaining their position in the division and in the conference. I mean, if everybody came back, if Reeves is back, if Gaudreau is back, if everybody's playing, but, in a COVID world, you can't count on that. So depth becomes very important, and we're seeing that the depth might just be a little shaky right now. So I think there need to be some adjustments, there needs to be some additions, and I think Drury is very aware of that and probably is going to take action on that pretty soon.
Okay, let's get Scott's thoughts on this, man. Scott, you heard the guys talk. What are your thoughts as far as the roster and the play? And then after that, I'll get into the upcoming games versus the Sharks and the Flyers. What's your thoughts, Scott?
Yeah, I forgot who said that they lack the depth, and that's, pretty much hitting it right on the head. This work in progress to where they've gotten so far, we all know it's not complete and it's only going to get better. Enough of them have arrived to get to where we are in terms of, this great record and the really fun, exciting team that is winning. That being said, they're not at the end yet, at the end goal of this whole thing, and that means we don't have guys to spare because we're just arriving and we don't have the depth. So they're being exposed with this whole COVID thing, and it is what it is. So be it. As for Georgiev, he's played a lot better since Igor's groin injury. When he stepped in, he has looked a lot better than his numbers before that. I forgot what they were. Remember, we brought them up. They were awful. But he has looked a lot better. That being said, he's a backup for a reason. And we have been spoiled, in the great backups that Hank had under him. We just don't have a great backup. I'm a little more confident, since the groin injury with him in net. He has looked decent, but he's not consistent, and he will let up the – some really bad goals. It's gotten better, and, he's a backup. So I don't have confidence if, we've already seen him now twice in Igor's absence, once for the groin, now for the COVID. So I don't feel confident if it comes down to him, you know, needing him down the stretch. Like remember what, 2015 when Lundqvist went out for the long span, you know, we were all right with Cam Talbot. He stepped it up and you know, got us to that President's Trophy in Hank's absence. We don't have that luxury this time. So hopefully, you know, Igor is back. I mean, he will be back soon. And hopefully that's, you know, don't want to say anything to jinx anything, but we cannot have Igor out in a long span anymore with a backup like Georgiev. But again, I will give him some credit. He has looked a little better than he did, a lot better than he did early on in the season, but it's just not consistent, and that's just what we've grown to expect from him. As far as making a move, if they want to consider themselves legit contenders, then yeah, they're probably going to have to make a move. I think before, you know, before the COVID roundtable or whatever you want to call it, which also someone mentioned that is going to be a problem, and this is the world we live in. It is going to be a problem. Now I don't even know if, you know, these guys that are testing positive, like if that means that it can't happen again, or if it can happen repeatedly, I don't know. Maybe nobody knows. I don't know. So, you know, like I said, a lot of teams have gone through this. Hopefully it's something that, you know, once it happens once, that's it, at least, you know, for the season. But they are going to have to make a move. And, you know, I remember we were talking early on in the year. I actually kind of liked the idea of a Phil Kessel. Someone else mentioned again, the veteran presence. You know, if we're talking about a legit contender and, you know, just need some icing on the cake, you know, that last piece or so, he would be a great pickup for that kind of, you know, for that kind of role. If we're talking about something for the long term, then no. Beyond that, I'm not really sure what they do. I would love to see Strom get signed in the long term. He's really making a case for his worth. You know, good for him, whether that's with us or not, depending on the salary cap situation, good for him. He'll get his money somewhere. But he has shown, you know, that we need him or somebody comparable in that center role up in that second line center. So I don't know. It's a big question mark. I'm still not convinced that they are a legit cup contender. Playoffs, sure. Contender, you know, not a lock by any means, but I'm not sold that they are a cup contender this year. They might be. I'm just not, you know, 100% sold on it yet. I think, you know, we'll the next 15 games or so, if they're however long that takes, you know, we'll tell the tale. And then Drury's got some tough decisions to make. How much of buyers do we want to be? The good news is, for the first time in a long time, they're certainly not sellers. You know, he'll have some tough decisions to make as to how strong of buyers they want to be, and make sure that we don't start doing what Sather did, you know, salvage the entire future, which, you know, Gorton spent 40 years undoing. But, you know, Drury, I'm not worried about that. But I think the next 15 games or so tell the tale as to what kind of push we're going to make at the deadline.
Okay. Shout outs to Scott. Thanks, man. I'm going to be real quick so I can go back to RP and get additional thoughts. Two things I'm going to focus on. The Keandre Miller, Glenn, I think you mentioned you think he should sit. I'm not quite there yet with him on that. And I think because we said it earlier in the LA game, they were so flat overall as a whole unit that, you know, Keandre has shown a lot. He played very well before this road trip. So, you know, in his growth, him being more physical, I give you that. But the misplay on the puck, I think that needs to be corrected. But it was not just him on that play. It was Trouba, and not to shift the blame off of Keandre Miller. Mm-hmm. The whole point I'm trying to say is this whole roster, especially the top four defensemen, I don't want to break that up. You know, Lindgren just getting back, playing well physically. You know, you saw him scoring in the Duck game. Keandre Miller and Trouba experiment has been pretty well. That's not the issue for me with the squad, and I think it's the circumstance because of the COVID. What made this thing go for the Blue Shirts? overall why we're at the top of the Metro is because even with the Sammy Blay injury, the fourth line was fantastic all year. Because the guys are coming up right off the taxi, it's just weird because they set the tone that set up everything else for the rest of the team. And I can't get on Philip Hedo. I can't really get up on Philip Hedo like that because, I mean, they're asking him to do whatever they want. You know, they're asking him to play third line center, fourth line center. They're asking him to play wing. He's playing with new pairings, it seems like, every three, four games. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think he was as bad in the duck in the and especially he looked aggressive to me in the King game. He attacked when other guys like McKeag and Rooney were trailing on plays. I don't, you know, Philip Hedo. Here's the thing. Let me cue the Perry Mason stuff because I got to play a little bit of Perry Mason because I like Philip Hedo because
that
you actually
love that song.
The funny thing about that. You saw Elias Anderson on the Kings. Remember, they're both wearing the same draft. And look where Elias Anderson is now. Philip Hedo, it is frustrating because you want him to see him do more. But if you're asking him to play third line center, fourth line center, wing left wing this, right wing that, and it's on the fly, guys are coming back, and especially you're not getting the physicality of, because Ryan Reeves is top three in hits in the entire league. You're not even getting him in the lineup after that Vegas game. You got Gettinger in there, Brozinski in there, and you brought up Morgan Barron. The flow of it from line to line to line isn't there right now like it was, you know, before road trip. Now, so that's why I'm going to hold back on the Philip Hedo. I thought he was okay in the King game. He attacked. He put shots on goal on Cal Peterson. I'm cool. But it just got to convert. We'll see because now San Jose, they're coming off their trip out east. You saw Thomas Hurdle get the hat trick versus the Flyers. They got a situation where we'll talk about that, how they, let, Evander Kane go and how they're going to bounce back because they're in a battle in the Pacific. But, RP, I'm going to go back to you, get some more thoughts on the Rangers and Glenn, and then we'll jump into the rest of the league. But, RP, I agree, man. I mean, if we could hold this thing up until Shesterkin gets back and some of these guys on the fourth line, we might be on that contender borderline for this team. I think there's enough sample size that this team could play with anybody in the league, but the circumstances with COVID, even the head coach got hit with it and is out. What about the intern with Knobloch in there? What is your expectations over the next couple of games, and what do you think as far as the Rangers being real contenders? What's your thoughts on that, bro?
Well, just to jump back what you were saying about Hedl, the reason why he's being bounced around so much is because it can't find the right spot for him to excel. I don't think it has anything to do with the fourth line being out with COVID or, you know, anything else. They're trying to get him jump-started, and that's why they're moving him around so much, and it just hasn't played out yet. At some point, the player has to accept the responsibility. You could put him at center, you could put him at wing, whatever line that you put him on. I mean, they're professional hockey players. He knows at the end of the day, it's more than just playing hard sometimes, and he does play very hard. But being a third-line center and he's playing with a guy like Gauthier and Lafreniere, I think you just expect more, and you should expect more out of him. So with that, I think he has to find a way to jumpstart himself. With all these guys coming up with the taxi squad, the one thing everyone's forgetting is they're all rookies getting thrown literally into the fire. A huge difference from the Hartford factor to the New York Rangers. And that's hard on them. So, you know, like the other night when Brzezinski and Gettinger played, they played really well. But, of course, that adrenaline kind of dies down. You get into the second and your third games, and it's a different atmosphere. It's a different responsibility. It's a lot harder. Teams get to see you and scout you so much more. So, with that, the Rangers in themselves have to figure out how to get back to where they were. And I don't think it's everything to do with the fourth line, as important as it is. I still think a lot of it comes off the back end. And I think at some point they're going to have to split up a Trouba and a Miller, because as beneficial as Trouba was to Miller getting to where he is, Trouba could be doing that with a Jones or when Lundqvist was up. And because they're afraid to break them up a little bit, maybe they don't have the confidence in Miller handling it on his own yet, they're not able to do that. I mean, you're not going to break up Fox and Lindgren. We all know that. Trouba's huge benefit, aside from his minutes and his veteran leadership is mentoring these guys on the ice. And I thought he could have been a huge help to a Lundqvist if they were to move them around. Well, see, when Jones is in the lineup. But the Rangers don't want to separate Trouba and Miller. And at some point, you got to take the gamble. At some point, you got to say, okay, this isn't working, or teams have picked up on what the Rangers are putting out there, and now you have to counter what they know and change it up a little bit. So, you know, the San Jose game tomorrow, I'm sorry, Thursday, Shesterkin, if he's cleared COVID, should be back in the lineup. That'll be a definite bonus. But every game is hard coming up. The second half of the season is extremely condensed. The two-week Olympic break is now going to be all hockey games. And I don't think the Rangers have the liability to accept that Gorgiev is just a backup. I think if you don't have the faith in the player, well, then put Kincaid in. Again, the Rangers play a different style of hockey depending on who's in their net, which it shouldn't be, but those are the facts that we have right now. I think the Rangers play better when Kincaid's in net. I don't know why he constantly keeps going with Gorgiev with his struggles. You got Kincaid practicing and all, put him in the game. It's not going to be any worse. I don't think it's going to be any worse. I think he just gives a different life to the team when they're playing. And, you know, Philadelphia is a tough game coming up. If you don't have a lot of these fourth liners back, which I'm not quite sure where the five-day symptom-free is with these guys, let's forget each day they went into protocol later. So their five-day, if they have no symptoms, gets changed a little bit. That's what the team is going to have to figure out. But at the end of the day, they're going to have to make improvements. You can't. Everyone else is getting stronger. Everyone else is picking up on what the team is and isn't doing. And the Rangers have to pick up on what other teams are doing. And until they can figure that part of it out, you know, there's going to be a little bit more tight play. There's going to be definitely a lot more of meaningful hockey games this half of the season. And I don't want them just to keep playing the way they were. You want the team to get better than where they were, because we all know the other teams are going to get better. The other teams are going to get hotter, and it's really quick to drop out of that top three, top four spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't quite know which direction Drury wants to take. You know, they have to first and foremost, I guess, decide what they're going to do with Strom. And I cannot see, even though their contract situations are tough, how you don't re-sign him. And he's done everything that you want in a hockey player. I mean, everything you want. And it's not just playing with Panarin. He's doing the stuff when he's not playing with Panarin. Mm-hmm. So they have to address that. Otherwise, you've only got 6-7 weeks before you have to move him, which I really hope they don't do. So there's a lot of moving parts right now. And the novelty of the Rangers are just playing, I shouldn't say the novelty. When the season started, we wanted to be competitive. We wanted to be a playoff team. They're there now, but the other teams are catching up. So if you have to change your lineup around, if you have to move your defenseman around, if you have to find another goaltender, you have to do it now. Because as the trade deadline approaches, the teams that are in it are all going to be vying to get better. The teams that are out of it are going to be selling. And the Rangers want to be standing there in the middle, and right now they're in the middle. They're on the bubble. Are we going to keep advancing, or are we going to just settle for what we got and hope for the best? You know, Shesterkin could come back and go off a big and hurt, and then what happens? We're back to the Gorgiev situation. So you can't just think that the next 40 games, 35 games, it's all going to be rosy with Shesterkin, and he's going to play three-quarters of the games remaining. Things happen. Things come up that can change that plan. I mean, you know, let's look at the New York Giants. No backup quarterback, and look what happens. You're not in any game. And I'm not saying that Gorgiev is that in that situation, but the team just doesn't seem confident with him. And that is a problem, especially where the Rangers are right now. And it's not just, oh, well, they don't, you know, Gorgiev isn't playing strong. To me, it's the Rangers don't have that backup goaltender they need. And that's something that really got to be addressed on top of another strong veteran defenseman and another top six forward. What the Rangers are looking for, guys, is what every team is looking for. It's not like they're the only ones. So it's going to be a battle for him, and I say for him, Drury, to make the right moves to be better for this year, and not just this season. You consider trading Strom. You consider trading Gorgiev or Hedl. These affect your next 2-3 years. So I don't know if getting that getting a Phil Kessel today will make this season better, but that's not helping the next 2-3 years down the road. And the Rangers have a lot of parts and a lot of pieces that could be traded to really strengthen their value in the next couple of years. And that's where I think they have to really pay attention.
All right, cool. Let's get around the rest of the league, and we'll finish up with the Blue Shirts on our final thoughts. Glenn, and then we'll go to Scott. But Glenn, I mean, anything else on the rest of the league? Have you, I know you're a hockey nut. You watch all these games. The Evander Kane situation. Now, I think this one's really interesting, of them terminating his contract, and they got the NHLPA involved, and his agent is pretty much saying he's going to be signed by this weekend. A lot of potential places. I don't even know if the Blue Shirts can entertain it, but the Oilers and teams like the Maple Leafs are in this. I thought the Dallas Stars situation with their head coach swinging the stick on the bench after getting screwed with those calls in the St. Louis game on Sunday was really interesting. If you have any thoughts on that, Barry Trotz is in COVID protocol, the big trade with Jack Eichel with Vegas and all the draft picks. Anywhere you would like to go? Oh, Tuukka Rask is a prorated contract with the Bruins in Providence right now. Any points I said or anything else around the league, feel free to shout it out, and we'll go to Scott and get RP, if anything, and final thoughts after that.
Well, I mean, I think if you look around the league, you're starting to see the separation between the haves and the have-nots. There's a couple of places where there might be some teams vying for that eighth playoff spot. But I think you're starting to see the cream rise to the top, which this is about the time of year that you start seeing that happen. And, we know that, the stretch run in the season and getting into the playoffs are different from October, November, and December. You wonder again if the Rangers are going to be able to keep up with some of the better teams, and I think they're going to need a little bit of reinforcement to do that. As RP said, they're not going to be the only teams that are looking for certain parts, and we know that toward the trade deadline, a little bit before, a lot of moves are made for, you hear rumors like you mentioned Kessel. Depending on what happens with San Jose, you're hearing Hurdle. I've heard Klingberg might be available. I mean, we've even heard Patrick Kane might be available. Not necessarily for the Rangers, but these are some of the players that you can expect some of the other teams to pick up. So the Rangers are going to have to find a way to keep up with that if they want to maintain the position that they're in and actually make some kind of a run. I think I said last week, cup contender, I don't know if they're quite there yet, but they could be good enough. I think this team intact with some reinforcements can pretty much play with almost anybody in the league. It gets harder at the end of the season in the playoffs, but I can see this team winning a round or two, maybe. I don't think they've got it to get all the way there, but like I said, you're starting to see the gap develop between the teams that are probably going to make the playoffs and the teams that probably aren't. So a lot of teams are going to be hungry to, try that have resources to do it. The cap space and the prospects or picks, whatever it might be, are going to start picking up these players, and the Rangers have to be in that mix. Whether they decide that it's something they want to do that's going to impact a couple of years down the road, or if they want to decide that they want to bring somebody in who's in the last year of their contract kind of strictly as a rental, I don't think that Drury is going to do anything like Sather did. I don't think he's going to move pieces that he believes are core pieces for us going forward. But again, I'll go back to the glut of defensemen. Maybe a Hedl is somebody who gets moved. I'll say about Keandre, since you mentioned him, Steve, I'm not saying to sit him long term, but maybe for a game or two. We've got enough defensemen that we can fill that spot. Maybe having Trouba play with a guy like Zach Jones or Lundqvist, like I think Scott mentioned, might be interesting to see how that goes. So I'm not saying to sit him long term. I don't think he's been terrible, but he actually did have a good stretch, you know, up until the last couple of games where there's been a couple of mistakes. But you know, I don't think it hurts some of these young guys to sit for a game or two, and you know, they're doing it to Lundqvist, they're doing it to Jones, they're sitting everybody else, you know, and maybe Keandre shouldn't, not that he does, but maybe he shouldn't feel like, you know, his position is that solid. Maybe that'll be the kind of boost that he needs to be what we all think he can be. I mean, I think he can be a fantastic defenseman, and I would hate to see them move him. But, you know, they're all young, and there hasn't been a hesitation to sit guys before to watch for a game or two. So I'm not saying long term. I don't think he's been terrible, but maybe he needs a little boost too, and you know, we can see what happens. But you know, again, there's going to be a lot of players available. There's going to be some impact players long term or as rentals, and I think the Rangers are going to be involved in anything that makes sense. So, you know, that's what I think we'll probably see coming up to the trade deadline. And, you know, I think this team is certainly a playoff team. In fact, you know, they're in a position now in the playoffs, unless there's just the roof caves in. I don't see how they don't make the playoffs when you look at the other teams at the conference that might threaten them. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where we go. We've been looking forward to this season for a couple of years now, where they really seem to be turning the corner, and they're getting there. And they've been a lot of fun to watch this year. But they're not quite there yet. And I think we have to all, and I think we do all understand that. And I think addressing the backup goalie is certainly going to be of interest, whether they use Kincaid a little bit more, whether Shesterkin can stay healthy, because I don't think they can survive long stretches of him out with either of the backups they have now. I think long-term, you know, they're probably thinking Huska or Wall or somebody else, but that's a little bit down the road and have to address what we have now. And, yeah, I mean, I'm on the fence about Georgiev, and like I said, I almost have more confidence, and I almost kind of feel like the team has more confidence and plays better, like somebody mentioned, with Kincaid in there. So I think it's going to have to be addressed long-term, and I'm sure it will be.
Glenn, thank you very much for your thoughts, man, and appreciate it, man, on your feedback on that, man. Scott, I'll get some final thoughts from you as well. Blue Shirts, anything arrest around the league, if you want to share, man, feel free to fire away. Oh, by the way, Scott, on another note, show-wise, I don't think I can tell you. Last Kingdom, all complete. Be fantastic as advertised. You are absolutely correct. I'm working on Yellowstone. I don't quite see the vision yet, but we will talk about that in KGYR yet. It's no Dexter. It's not Dexter. Let's put it like that.
Dexter. I thought Dexter was very good. Anyway.
No, I love Dexter. I'm saying Yellowstone is not Dexter, is my point.
Okay. I misunderstood what you said. Okay. We'll address that one offline. Yes. But I'm glad you like Last Kingdom, because I thought it was fantastic. That is my favorite show.
It's fantastic. Oh yeah, that shit is fire, man. Go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. Regarding around the league, next Friday, I got my plane ticket. I'm venturing down for the Carolina game. God willing that one doesn't get canceled, but I'm excited about that, because remember on the first show when we were making our predictions, I had they were my favorite to win the division. They're my favorite to win the Stanley Cup. I think they're the best team in the league. Obviously, I'm going down there to hopefully see a Rangers win, going down there to see the Rangers, but I am excited to see Carolina play on the ice. I have watched them a few times. Yeah, they are lethal. I do believe that they are the best team in the league. So I'm excited to go down there. It's my second road trip of the year. I mean, I haven't been to many games given the world we live in. But anybody else going? I guess I'll throw that out there. Anybody going to that game?
No, I'm watching.
Go. I'll be in the top row. Hopefully our guys are right. Well, we know that the guys that are out now will be back by then. So hopefully they can put a stop in this testing positive nonsense. And I'd really like to be 100% going into that game. But I'm excited. It should be a good quality matchup. Two heavyweights in the league going at it. It should be fun.
Yeah, it'll be next Friday.
Did you guys see the other last week one game, Carolina, the goal scorers in a Carolina game? Brady Shea,
yeah.
Tony D'Angelo, Derek Stefan, and Jesper Fox. That was the night that Haglund scored in his own net, too.
Well, I have I don't know if I've mentioned this. I know Steve's seen the pictures, but I have my garbage can and my recycling can in my kitchen, and I have on each one on my garbage can, I have all the logos of all the teams I hate. Flyers, Devils, Islanders, Yankees, no offense to some of the people here, et cetera. And on the recycling bin, I have a Carolina logo. Up until this year, it was the Tampa Bay Lightning logo on the recycle bin. I had to change that. It is now the Carolina logo. And like I said, Steve has seen those pictures. He can attest that I am not lying.
Absolutely. All right, cool. Shout out to Scott, man. Thank you very much, man. We'll catch up, man, in between games and also next Tuesday when we get back here. Ranger Proud, the chief himself, final thoughts from you, sir. Blue Shirts around the league, any articles coming down the pike, and good content, man. Good content. Shared it on the Bleed Blue Show, man. Go ahead. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. The Rangers are going to have to get better, probably outside of their organization, if we're going to keep winning and keep playing at the level I guess that everyone's expecting them to be playing at. They're going to have to address a lot of situations and a lot of issues in order for us to be better than we are now. And we are a good hockey team, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of other good hockey teams that we're kind of battling against. Keep following Ranger Proud. I dropped a new logo today, if you guys saw, trying to improve the page a little bit. Thanks to Knickerbocker Avenue for designing it. It came out really great. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out. My article's on Forever Blue Shirts and Empire Sports Media. I love the banter. There's been a lot of it in Ranger Twitter. And just keep following along.
Our pizzle, man. Good, man. We got two games, and we'll be back next Tuesday at 9 o'clock, exactly in a week from now. We're only going to have two games. Then the Rangers will be back at home versus the Maple Leafs. And then they go back down to Raleigh, to the Triangle in North Carolina versus the Hurricanes. And Scott said he'll be at that game. So we only got two games. Let's finish off this road trip on a strong note, and we'll rendezvous and hopefully get bodies back, man. Yeah, the rest of the league, I saw John Merrill get the extension with the Wild. I think I mentioned it with Trotz getting, in COVID protocol. And, finally Eichel has moved on. He's excited about that. I saw his video talked about that as well with the trade with the Sabres. Other than that, keeping on watching some games as much as games. There's so much stuff, man. Just all the sports. You got the NFL playoffs. You got the NBA and college basketball, and of course hockey. There was one game. I don't know if you guys saw this game. Before we get off, the Toronto Colorado game was fantastic too. That was a lot of good shifts and good play in that game as well last weekend, man. But we got the Sharks, we got the Philadelphia Flyers, and then we got a little bit of a break till next Wednesday. We don't play till Wednesday to get home after that Saturday game in Philly, but we'll talk about it on Tuesday as we get ready for more around the game. So Scott and RP and Glenn, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, here on the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Prowl, West Coast Trip Part 2, Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Blue. bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.